Blog Talk Radio. Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.
Hi, everybody. This is Natalie Jean with Vanessa Dijon. Today we have on Chatting with Nat singer-songwriter Sarah Christine, Colorado-based up-and-coming singer-songwriter with proud Minneapolis roots. Sarah Christine draws influence from pop, indie, folk, and electronic sounds to create a unique blend of original compositions. With a strong passion of writing, composing, and producing, Sarah creates music you'll find yourself playing on repeat and adding to your playlist. Her voice and tone are one of a kind and are undeniably rare. Propelled by an innate desire to base her entire musical adventure and journey on the soul theme of In It Together. It is the humble sense of coming together to follow dreams as a community alongside extremely hard work that will help us all achieve our goals. Sarah's core story brings light into many stories and circumstances she overcame in her life that demonstrates strength, perseverance, and bravery, encouraging being bold and letting go, which is intensified through so many of her lyrics. Overcoming being hit by a Ford F-150 truck while walking across a crosswalk being one situation Sarah overcame just recently. Wow. A life-changing moment. Sarah was recently acknowledged as one of the most anticipated up-and-coming singer-songwriters by two Grammy winners on the Music Boost podcast with an upcoming tour starting May 2022. Let's give her a round of applause. Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Hey, how are you, Natalie? How's it going?
I'm still alive and kicking, still here.
I feel you.
I think that's the way I have to answer things now because of the cray-cray kind of world that we're living in. So how have you been this entire pandemic, Ukraine, George Floyd, elections, every COVID you can name in the world? How have you been doing through all of that?
Trying to hang on tight too. it's been wild. I mean, I just can't believe like all of the different things that have happened in such a short period of time. But I'm hanging in there. I actually had during COVID, I had in 3 days, 52 shows canceled. And it was right after I had quit my job to go full time. So I feel you, girl. It's like, hang on for the ride and, you know, just keep hustling and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Oh, my gosh. And that's just so how I feel for you. I mean, whoa, that sucks. So a question I like to ask everybody, because we've all been dealing with the same thing, is basically around the whole subject of the pandemic. While we know that the pandemic has been a source of great tension and a horrible thing. People have died. There's long-term COVID. People are still dealing with a lot of issues. People have died, a lot of lost loved ones. But there has been pros in regards to the pandemic. It was downtime for a lot of self-introspection. Like the things that I saw were like, you know, family members walking around with their families. Which is not odd, but it's odd in a sense that people really took time to be together. In regards to climate change, the animals and the trees were like, oh, my God, people are not in the streets. We can breathe. The pollution level significantly without us being there. And I'm sure they were hoping, that they weren't going to be there. The other thing is her call dropped. So Natalie was just about to talk to herself, so I'm going to wait till she calls back in and see what's happening with that. You just don't want to
hear me?
It's so great that I can see when the call drops, because I was basically just myself.
Man, I don't know. I've got full bars, but I'm sorry, man. Like my
no, listen.
I don't know.
Technology. This happens. No worries.
I mean, we've gone through it all with COVID. Why not also have a couple of hiccups with technology, right? There we are.
You should see when I do my IG live. Sometimes that thing will kick up. I have to go back on 5 million times. So it is what it is. But basically, what I was saying is that I knew I had a colleague that quit his job because quit his job. He actually pulled back on hours of his job because he realized that he wasn't spending enough time with family. And then you had people that quit their jobs because they really realized that life is short. And they'd rather do something that's more fulfilling, their passion and stuff, and make money that way. And then you have artists. Artists decided to rebrand. Some artists created music. Some, you know, did singles. Some created albums. Some decided not to do music anymore. Some decided to be more effective players. So that being said, my question basically is, during this time, did you have some self-introspection? Did you decide to say... with the same branding, did you change anything? What did you think about?
Yeah, I think you bring up such a good point. Like, it was just such a time for like self-reflection and what do they call it, right? The great resignation, I think, where everyone's like, hey, I think it was like a big like slap in the face, if you will, of like, you only live once. And like, you know, are we living on purpose or are we living for like a big corporate paycheck, or like what is our true intention and how are we going to leave like our mark on this world? Like, how do we want to exit? You know what I mean? I guess like for me, I know you mentioned it quick when reading my, sorry for the super long bio that I happen to have, but yeah, like I think prior to COVID, I had kind of a wake up call. I used to juggle my music with a corporate career, and I don't dog it at all because I did enjoy a lot of what it had to offer, and I learned a ton. But I did end up leaving, but I had two circumstances that kind of like helped me to pursue my purpose, I think. And one was what you had mentioned was I was in Indianapolis for a work trip. I had just gotten a promotion, and I was kind of on like my big first like go for that new gig. And I was walking across the crosswalk, and it was early, and I got halfway through the crosswalk, and it was rainy, and I got hit by a Ford F-150 truck really severely. It was definitely a life-changing moment. I was like essentially like, you know, in the news and all of that, in really, really bad shape, was stuck in Indy for a while. And I actually was not like knocked unconscious, but I definitely blacked out when I had like skid across the pavement. And I remember like my, like it was black, it was totally black. But I remember hearing my voice, and my voice was like, Sarah, wake up. You're not done yet. It's time. And like, then I woke up, I saw the ambulance lights and all this stuff, but I knew what really actually hit me more than the truck was like the word time. Like, I knew what that meant. I had been really juggling with like my soul. Like, I wanted to burst into music full time, but to be honest, I was too fucking scared. And you know, it's like, there's something with like when you have stability and there's a certain like peace sometimes you find with comfort in that. And I was really scared to take that like monstrous leap into kind of the unknown music industry. You know, it's like this phantom word almost with like, what is it really, you know? And so that was like my first big thing. And I knew then that I wanted to do music full time, and that's what I was going to be working towards. Like, it was very evident that the universe knocked me over to like, be like, hey, like, let's go. And then when COVID happened, I was still in that role. I'd actually that's what brought me out to Colorado. And you know, to be honest, like, Colorado was like one of the first states to like really, really shut down. And the corporation I was with all good intention, I'm sure, like I felt like made some very, very quick decisions. You know, in terms of like layoffs and things like that, I was managing quite a few people, and like, I just didn't agree with the, like, who was, you know, being asked to move on and different things, you know, that just, like, for me personally, I know, like, with a huge organization, you have to make executive decisions that are consistent among a lot of states, but to me, like, you know, I kind of went back to, like, you know, like, back in, like, if you, you know, for everybody that's listening that went to, like, college or school or whatever, you have to take, like, a business ethics class, like, and they're like, follow your gut, like, if it doesn't feel right, don't do it, you know, and to me, I was like, you know, this doesn't, like, although it might be right for, like, what's going on in the economy, from a, like, emotional standpoint, it doesn't feel right to me. And right. I think now's the time to, like, take the leap. And people, like, thought I was crazy. Like, who jumps into music full-time in, like, the early parts of the pandemic when shows are getting shut down and Save Our Stages and everything else? But I think you're right on. Like, people, I think, took COVID and everything that, you know, all of the things that were happening, like, hopefully to heart. And it's, like, live on purpose. Like, you only have one life, you know? And,
right.
You know, yeah.
That's right. See, I love that. So, you know, I can high five you on the whole on the whole quitting the job thing, because I did the same thing in the sense that, okay, so my whole situation and my job wanted people to get vaccinated, and I wasn't ready at the time.
Yeah.
I think that's also a personal decision, blah, blah, blah. And there were some other things.
Yeah.
Issues. You know, I just decided, and I was talking to another colleague, and the person said, you know, this is your opportunity to leave and do your music full time. I didn't have any money, and I was just like, you know, this is it. And so I did the same thing. Basically, I left my job and I've been trying to push music and do this, that, and the other. I think there comes a point in our lives where we have to make those decisions. You know, I was with my job 15 years. I was there for a long time. It was time for me to go.
Yeah.
For me, it was like do or die. You know?
Yeah.
Do I?
And now look at you, crushing this podcast all over the radio. You made the right call.
I mean, it's like, okay, it's not, it's like, it's basically now or never, you know? So kudos to you for making the decision to get out there and do your thing. I'm sorry that the pandemic did come, and then you had all those dates, those tourist shows and all that stuff. That's really sucks. And then also getting hit by, oh my God, that's, whoo!
I think the lesson is, right, like, if you're too scared and which I was at the time, even though, like, I knew what I was supposed to do, but it was like, I don't know, I feel like sometimes the universe has to, you know, knock you out or whatever to make it very apparent, like, okay, if you're not going to do it, I'm going to force you to, you know?
Exactly. So. Exactly. And it's not that, you know, I didn't sit there and I'm trembling and like, okay, what am I doing? That's job, that's insurance, that's this, that's this. I said, where there's a will, there's a way.
Amen.
For me, it's like, it's in your gut and it keeps telling you, the universe is going to support you in whatever you do. And you have, you know, you have this, I mean, cause on a daily basis, I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know about this music mess. And then I'll get emails or call music and they're like, oh, I like this song. I say, okay. That means I have to continue. So, I mean, I totally get it. This music business can be extremely crazy. Now, how did you and music, how did Sarah, Christine, and music come together? You know, was it something that you saw, you heard? What made you decide that Sarah and music had to come together and become one?
totally by accident. So, I mean, I grew up playing the piano and stuff. And then in college, I played college basketball. I'm 6'2". I'm a tall drink of water baby.
Oh, wow.
So,
that is tall.
Yeah, I always have a bad joke when I play at venues and stuff, and I usually have, like, you know, when there's, like, usually, like, the guy owners or whatever, will be, they always make a comment, oh, you're 6'2", and I'll say, that's all the same laying down.
Right? There you go. I like that.
It's a stupid joke, but it makes them think for a minute, and then they're like, okay, I'll shut up now. all by accident. So I was playing college basketball, and then I started like teaching myself guitar on the side, you know, in my like dorm room and stuff. And my, I've got five best girlfriends, kind of like a now and then story since like fourth grade. And one of my best friends came to visit me in college, and she came to my dorm room and she was like, "Yo, Sarah, like, is that a guitar under your, under your bed?" And like, yeah. And she was like, "Wait, you play? Like what?" And I was just learning guitar, you know, and I still don't claim to be very good at it. But he was like, "Yeah, I'm dabbling at it, you know." And she's like, "Can you sing?" And I mean, I've known this girl, you know, since fourth grade. And I was like, and I had the worst stage fright, you know, it was like a very silent hobby of mine. And she's like, "Okay, sing me something." And then I sang her, like, I was writing this song called Minnesota Eyes. It's the first song I ever wrote, and it's still not released anywhere. I'm thinking about it, but, and I played it for her, and she goes, "Holy shit." And we take, like, a girls' trip. We try to anyways. Now some of them have a bunch of kids and stuff, so it's harder. But we used to take trips every year together, and one of my friends' family that's kind of been passed down in their family has, like, a cabin in Colorado. And so we had road tripped from Minnesota out to Colorado, and we went hiking all day. And then there was this like wine bar in Breckenridge that we went to later on. And I always joke, like, thank God for red wine, because I had so much stage fright. I would have never gotten up there. But this guy was playing like acoustic guitar and singing, and the bar was packed, you know, and like us girls were just like catching up. And he was playing like a long set. It was like a 3 or 4 hour set for the guy, you know, playing a lot of covers and stuff. And so he had like a couple breaks that were like pretty long. And the second one happened, and my best friend, you know, I had no idea, went up to the bar, and the manager was there, and she was like, "Hey, you see that chick over there? Like, she can sing, and, you know, she's never played in front of anyone. You know, what do you think?" And I mean, I have no idea that stuff's going on. And then he goes up to the artist, and he was like, "Hey, what do you think about this gal singing for a few seconds?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." I mean, this guy's exhausted. He's been playing for like 3 hours, you know? And so he like willingly hands me his guitar. Well, basically like what happened was the manager over like basically the entire bar is like, "Hey, Sarah Christine, I heard you can sing. Get up here." And I about fell out of my chair. Like, I literally, I've never wanted to, like me and my friend Mel, we've never like gotten in a fight really. And I literally was like, "Okay, like this is not cool." You know, whatever. And I went up there, grabbed the guitar, literally about shit my pants. I was so scared. And, I started playing Minnesota Eyes, and the entire place went completely silent. Like, you could hear a pin drop. And it was like a defining moment, like where I was like, "Whoa, like this is crazy." And then I played like a couple songs, and then I handed the guy back his guitar. And like I said, he was wiped. He'd been playing for like 3 hours. And so he was like, "Hey, want to do me a favor and close out the rest of the night?" And that's how I got started. And afterwards, all these people were coming up, and they were like, where do you play next? And do you have a CD out?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh, people actually kind of like what I'm writing. This is crazy." And that was like, I always say music is its own drug, you know, like, and that's where I became addicted. That's where I became addicted, you know? So,
that's wonderful. Now, how important is it for you to be authentic in your music, your songwriting, just authenticity all around?
Like 1,000%. I don't know. I feel like I try my best just to like, in like, whether it's like social media, I think you do a really good job of this too. I was looking at a lot of your stuff before, and it's like, you know, whether or not it's like, you know, what everybody's kind of like branding is, like, to me, my whole goal with it is like, if and when you come to a live show and we get to kick it, like, I don't want to be a surprise to you that I'm something different, you know? And so I try to just like be myself as much as I can. And then hopefully when we meet in person, you're like, "Cool. Like, cool. Like, that's her, you know, and I'm not for everyone, that's for sure. But hopefully if you do like my vibe, like, we will vibe. And like, I know who comes to the shows and stuff, you know, and like, even if it's like big, big crowds, like, I look at the ticket stuff after and like, we'll become homies, you know, like,
right.
I take like people coming very seriously. And, you know, so yeah, I guess I'm trying to take after you because you're pretty authentic yourself, my dear.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the compliment. Well, you know, it took me a while. I'm like you in the sense that, first of all, I didn't even know that I could sing. I know growing up that I loved music. You know, my father is a singer from Haiti and stuff like that. So I grew up around music.
Oh.
And I used to, like, imitate Mae West and all this stuff. I could do that, and I could dance. But singing?
Oh.
I was like, you want me to sing in front of people? I was extremely shy. There was no way that was going to happen. And it just so happens because some stuff was going on in my life, and I started writing poetry, and that's how I got into the music industry. And one day, you know, I had my first CD release party, and I had this thing. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to die up here. And I really thought I was, but I had to not care about what the audience thought, and I had to have a good time.
Right.
And in that sense, I had to really say, you know what, I'm just going to give them everything that I have. We're going to have a good time, and that's it. And that's how I've been able to, you know, get on stage, perform in front of everybody, because I just don't care.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care what the audience thinks. It's just you can't worry about that stuff. You just can't, because it's just nonsense. You're up there, you're doing your thing. That's what's the most important thing about all of that. And then later down the line, but the whole authentic thing is that, you know, in my culture, people always, you know, my family's from Haiti, they always care about what people think. I just don't have time for that crap. I really don't. You would think that that's weird in the music industry, but when I talk about it, I mean in the sense of, oh, if I'm a person that speaks her truth or sings her truth and stuff like that, I'm just going to do my thing. Because I think there's an audience for that. There's a major audience for that. And after the past 3 years of the elections, George Floyd, pandemic, Ukraine, and all kinds of other things that have happened, people are seeking hope.
Yep.
They're seeking authenticity. They want something that's real, because, you know, sometimes you read something one place and then the next place, oh, that wasn't true. So at least with us, singer-songwriters, musicians and stuff like that, they can get something that's real, especially from independent artists. You know, with TikTok, what I found after doing so many webinars over the pandemic is that the videos that are most popular with people being authentic. Because when people watch that, they're basically like, oh, I can do that too. And they watch a mainstream artist do their thing, is like, oh, okay, that's really cool. I like them, but I don't know if I can do that. You know, people want to grab, they want to be able to say, oh my God, I heard Sarah Christine's song and I really loved it. That's my girl right there. Every time I feel down, I can listen to her. And I tell people like I and different artists that this is our superpower. I'm going to get a t-shirt.
Yeah.
This is our superpower, music. It basically starts to move mountains, heal people. People use it for many modes of expression. So they use it on TikTok, Instagram, whatever. They're using it because it brings out a certain type of emotion. And that emotion is 99.9% about healing. So, you know, kudos to you. Authentic. I mean, I came to a point where, you know, especially with women, when women speak up, there's always like a negative connotation with that. And I just don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to. I mean, basically, I had a conversation with I released the song, and people have been contacting me about it more than any of my other songs. And once I was like, I just love it because you're different. You're unique. It's not the same old stuff that's playing on the radio that, you know, they inundate the radios with. And I'm just like, well, I'm just trying to be me, you know. I think that's what's missing in the music universe. When it comes to mainstream art, a lot of the artists are missing and that themselves, you know, like they play the song the label want them to play. And when you're indie, you play and write any damn thing you want, and it's you.
Amen to that. I know. Yeah, and I don't know if you feel like this, but like, you know, well, one, I think it is a lot of bullshit when people say like every show that they play was like perfect or super great. Right. I feel like, I mean, thankfully, I feel like the majority that when I'm touring and stuff go extremely well, and they're so fun, and you know, the connection with everyone after and during is like so important to me, and I hope everyone feels like so much love. But like, I feel like when I reflect back, like I try to reflect back after every circuit of stuff when I'm playing live, and when I think about the shows that I really messed up in, it's because I kind of psyched myself out before about like, if I kind of know like, oh, like this person's going to be there, or this group of people, or to your point, I used to like really be like, I got to put on a show. And those were the ones I messed up on. And it's like I think it takes kind of to your point, like putting yourself out there and putting yourself into performance situations all the time to learn that like being your authentic self and showing up as you are and kind of taking that like kind of pressure off of your shoulders to be perfect that night and change that in your mind to be the most authentic that night. It completely changes the dynamic. And it also like, I don't know, in terms of like, I think mindfulness and health and wellness for all of us artists is like huge, because there's just so much pressure, so much anxiety. There's obviously a lot of temptation and whatever else. But I think like part of that comes with when we put so much pressure on ourselves. And I'm at fault at that all the time. I mean, like even this morning I had to check myself. I'm like, girl, look at your schedule today. Like, cool it, yo. Like, you know, you know, but like the minute you kind of like practice with performance and start to realize like the minute you lift a little bit of that weight is when like your true self comes out, and that's who people love. And if they don't love you, like you said, who cares? Like you're going to get hateful stuff every once in a while. But I'm like, yo, even if I get a hateful message once in a while, that still means tension enough to actually like write that and then like treat that with empathy. Like who knows what they're going through? Like to where they had to just take that out. You know what I mean? Like whatever, you know? So yeah. And then, you know, the stuff that you had mentioned about George Floyd's death, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but I'm from Minneapolis, and I lived just a couple blocks from where that happened. And that affected me. Yeah. So much. I've been super involved with the Black Lives Matter movement, and I actually have my next single coming out is called Sidewalks, and it's not to make this podcast a little bit dark, but I thought about all the things you mentioned earlier. It like literally almost like made me tear up when you were kind of introducing the you know, all everyone has been through. The song Sidewalks is about suicide prevention, the pandemic, Black Lives Matter, and then also kind of a tie-in with the media. And so the beginning of it, I was actually in my studio in Denver, and I had a friend reach out, and she was in a really, really dark place. I was pretty nervous she was going to do something that she would regret, you know, and I tried to put myself in her place, and it was due to the, like, she had lost her job. Her relationship was like turning out terribly because of it. Like she was losing everything. And so she was losing herself. And, anyways, like I tried to put myself in her situation, and it was like, as morbid as this is, I was like, if I were to make, like, do that type of action, how would I do it? Right. And I was looking out my window, and this girl was walking down the sidewalk, and she started crossing the road. And I was like, that's it. I don't take sidewalks anymore. So like the first verse is, I don't take sidewalks anymore. What's the point when I'm not sure what I'm living for? I'll follow yellow dotted lines, you know, like in the middle of the road, in the middle, but I won't stop for your lights. And I won't take sidewalks anymore. That's the beginning. And then it goes into the pandemic, but then there's a whole verse about what happened to George Floyd. And that part is like, there's a man down in my hometown. There are riots on the streets, throwing smoke and guns around. when all we need is equality? Why is it so damn hard for us to find love and peace? So I won't take sidewalks anymore. And so I'm hoping, you know, like, the tie with that too is like the media tells us like, oh, everyone's going to be okay and we'll get through this and we'll be stronger for this. And so the chorus is about that. And then it ends with like, but how will we know? And I purposely delayed the release for this song because what makes me like so upset about like the pandemic. And by the way, even like everything going on in Ukraine, like, you know, like we need to be seeing more about like that footage and like having people involved. And, you know, it's already dying back onto the next thing in the news. Right. And then the, you know, Black Lives Matter movement, like I'm like, unfortunately, like, you know, it's like everyone kind of predicted like, the, you know, what we were all doing to fight for it in the streets and like what would die back and the media would die back on it. And so I purposely delayed the release because it's like, hey, this has not gone away. Like we need to keep fighting, you know? And like, so I purposely delayed it to bring it back like very, like early summer here so that it's like, wait a minute, we all just went through all of this. Like let's regroup and I'll come back together on stuff. We're all still hurting around. Like,
yeah.
It can't go away, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's been a tough time. And the one thing is we've all been through it, especially the pandemic. Everybody's been through it. So that's where we're all cohesive in that. But we know the pain of what a pandemic can do. And then to add all this other stuff, it's just been mind-blowing. You know, and I tell people all the time that I have to pinch myself because I'm just like, are we in the 21st century? Is this 1930, 1940?
Yeah.
Did we go time? You never really think that you could ever live through something like this, but here we are.
Yeah.
And it sucks,
yep.
Basically.
Yep.
So
yeah.
I'm going to play your song now. Hang on, Mom. Tell me what that's about.
I'm pretty stoked how, like, this song has really been, I think, you know, it's like you put out music with, anyways, my intent is that it just helps someone. And this song is about my mom's cancer battle. She fought breast cancer. And during the pandemic was really like the toughest part of it all. And, you know, like I'd mentioned, they live in Minnesota. I base in Colorado right now. And so it's not like you could just, you know, run home to your mom and give her a hug. And one, it's just not safe, you know? And she had called me one day, and my mom's a tough gal, like,
right.
You know, faith is always at the forefront for her, and she's always usually very optimistic, and she had called, and it was, like, the first time I had, like, felt and heard, I don't want to say the word, like, defeat, because she wasn't giving up, but it was, like, it was a bad day, you know? And it just ripped me apart because I couldn't just go help, you know? And so I thought, well, okay, what can I control? And I was like, you know, writing a song. And so I wrote Hang On Mom and then sent it to her and said, I hope this helps you to hang on. And then since then, we partnered with Music Beats Cancer and we raised over $2,000 for cancer research just recently in just a few weeks. And now the song will be on iHeartRadio's Top 40 app in New York City streaming. I think it's like for a couple weeks in April and May. I think they said it's supposed to get like 600,000 plays or something like that. So I'm really excited about that. And
congratulations.
We'll see how that goes. So,
that's
yeah,
you.
Thank you. Yeah, so, I mean, my thought was, you know, with, like, how it could help others. Like, obviously, there's a bajillion people, unfortunately, dealing with, like, the crisis that cancer is or just finding out that they have it or whatever. But also, like, to your point with everything everyone's been through, like, it doesn't have to be cancer. It could be, I lost my job. What do I do? I lost my husband. What do? You know, whatever. And my hope is that this song just helps you to hang on with whatever struggle you're going through too, and knowing hopefully it'll be all right if you do. So,
all right, let's play it.
Talk back and inside the words. Flowers blooming just like they should. Called today and said the sky is blue, and that's good. I'm so glad that's there. I called to say you seem strong today, and that's good. Hey, mom, just hold on. This might be a
Jungle. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks for playing that.
I recently sang a song for my friend that's a lyricist, and it's called Rear View, and it's basically his song about being in remission for cancer. Mm. So I completely get it. Tough, very tough. I hope that song helped her to hold on.
She's in remission, so
yay.
We just got the news not long ago that she had I think like her last scan for a bit about a week ago, and we got the thumbs up again, so everyone's very very grateful. And to anyone who's lost anyone and isn't in the same boat as my mom right now, just want to say I'm sorry for your loss, and hopefully this song helps you to hang on. So
beautiful. Now you're on the cover of Alohi. I hope it's Lohi. Lohi.
Lohi.
Lohi. Lifestyle Lohi. Magazine in their annual music edition. How'd you get that? And how awesome is that? Congratulations on that too.
I really don't know. all the musicians that are in the magazine are incredible, and I'm really honored to be a part of that whole crew. And in terms of the cover, Stephanie, who runs the magazine and who's the editor, has participated, and she's very into the music scene and has come to a lot of shows, and we've collaborated on a couple different shows together. Actually, we do a benefit every year for domestic violence awareness, and I think in the last couple of years we've raised almost $60,000 for that here. And so we've kind of had a special connection and have partnered on a few things, and she reached out and was like, hey, I'm, you know, the annual, you know, edition's coming out, and we'd like to feature you in the magazine. And it's like, oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much for the article, you know. And, you know, when are we planning to do the interview? And she surprised me and said, well, what about the cover? And I was so honored. Very great. Yeah. I mean, we definitely celebrated, you know, we toasted a little champagne and went out and celebrated for sure. And the shoot was really, really fun, and the entire interview. But it's kind of weird seeing yourself on the cover all around Denver. Lohi, actually, have you been to Denver before?
Yes, many, 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 many moons ago, but I have been.
Well, we got to get it's kind of like every little, like, area of the city has a different name. There's, you know, there's Rhino, there's Lohi, there's a place called Sunnyside, like, whatever. So Lohi is kind of a bigger area of Denver. So if anybody is ever in Denver over the next couple of weeks, because I think your next edition comes out soon, but if you're in Lohi, you'll see my face all over. Fortunately or unfortunately, I'm not really sure. Depends on if you like my face or not.
Everybody loves your face. Based on the pictures, everybody loves your face. They just love you. Hey, come on now.
Know.
Yeah.
Humble is the best way, baby.
Yeah, but if you know you got it, you got it. Right.
True that.
All right.
Well, I'll show you if we've got it if you come to a show. So.
Okay. I love that. Now, you have an upcoming tour. Tell me about that.
Well, I should be out in New York soon. I'll have to hit you up. I've got an upcoming tour coming up. I've got a few projects I'm working on right now where actually next week I get to do kind of a cool wedding thing in Tulum, Mexico. And then I'm in New York working with Andrea Stolpe. I'm sure many of you know that name. Very famous songwriter. And I'll be at a retreat with her doing like four or five days, like of just intense songwriting. Then in May, I'm recording the entire month. And then we are kicking off Denver with myself and Lohi Magazine and Lyft Vodka are sponsoring the Denver Pride Kickoff Festival that will take place in Lohi, actually. So we're running that for 3 days. It'll be about 20 bands I'll be playing as well. And then after we're done running that festival, I hit the road. So I'll be Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Washington, Oregon. I'll be in California for a month. Austin, Texas for the CD Baby conference, then back to San Diego playing there. And then I'll hit New Mexico and Arizona and back to Colorado, and that'll be the full leg. So I'll be gone for about two, three months.
Good for you. I love it. Following your dream, doing your passion. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Now I want
to have to share a bill. You and me.
Yes.
Let's do it.
Let's manifest it. I'm digging. I'm dead serious. When you're done.
Me too.
The superstar out there is you and I. Let's do this thing.
That's it.
Oh, my goodness. All right. The next song we're going to play, I'm going past the time. It's okay. Is the year, let me see what I write. The year vices?
The year yeah. Vices? Yeah, the year is kind of like a, instead of putting out an album, I've been putting out kind of single after single, like Sidewalks will be the year Sidewalks, the year of Vices. So you'll kind of see that theme, but yep, that's it. Vices is What's Up with my homie Taylor Tuke.
So I'm taking it the song is about vices, having vices.
You got it.
All right. Well, I'm going to play it.
Perfect.
They say I'm drinking too much. They say I'm sleeping too little. And I don't know what's down from up. They say I need to slow. My mind's always running, and I don't know how to wind up. I'm drinking too much. I think I might sleep it about to try to fill this void I don't know too much about. I think I could fall.
I just came back from Vegas. I can attest, yes, pretty much. I've been drinking. I drank too much.
Yeah.
No, I actually drank the right
amount. Sometimes, right?
I drank the right amount.
I feel you. Yeah, no, actually, I wrote that song after I had, well, ironically, had happy hour with three friends, and we were all just talking about, like, some tough stuff, like, you know, everyone's kind of going through. And my one friend, he's like, I'm partying way too much. And, you know, I know we're running over. But my other friend was like, I'm sleeping around way too much. I'm swiping right on everyone, you know, I'm, you know, whatever. And and then, you know, I have my own vices and stuff. And I got this hook in my head and ran out to the studio and wrote that song. And then when I had met Taylor, I played on a bill with him in Denver. We had never met, and I heard his voice and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm in love. And we hung out after the show and I showed him the song that I'd written. And I was like, you know, I was going to do this solo, but I think this might be a good duet. And he came over a couple weeks later and he definitely enhanced the song. That's for sure. So that's Vices for you.
I love it. It's another song that's just so real. So real. Funny, people would come up to me in Vegas and they would be like, what have you been doing? And I'm like, been drinking. What have been doing?
Well, sounds like I need to go to Vegas with you too.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you haven't seen your friends for the longest time and you're just like, oh my God, and hug, da da da. I don't care. Just hug me. Let's drink. Let's have a good time. Now, what are three things you wish you had known about the music industry before you got into the music industry?
Man, that's a good question. Three things I wish I would have known. I think one thing you learn is, like, for anyone out there that is an aspiring songwriter, like, for if you're having trouble, like, booking gigs and stuff, I think it's easy to, like, you know, send out memos and stuff like that and, you know, talk a lot about your stuff, but it really, I think the common theme is it's not about you. Like, so maybe just when you're reaching out to venues and stuff, think about the venue. Like, you know, they care about draw. They care about how many people are going to buy drinks. Like, how many people are showing up at the door. And when you do your job right, you're going to through on what you commit to with that. And so my advice would be lead with how you can help the venue and then just supply them with a few things with your music. And that will work out in your favor, I think. And then it's your job to follow through, you know, and make sure that that happens. So I would say that in terms of the industry, I think that there is this, like, I guess stigma might be the wrong word, but I think when you get into, like, performing, I think people put a lot of pressure on themselves to, like, go get signed, you know, focus on, you know, getting in front of everybody in A&R, do this, and this. And there's a reason, like, the indie space is just absolutely booming. Like, that still should be, like, obviously something you pursue, but it should be your songwriting and just creating and improving on that. Like, my theme for this year is just be addicted to improving. Like, that stuff will start to compound and then people will start reaching out to you and your efforts will pay off, you know, and then it's kind of like your decision to, like, what do you want to entertain or continue to do on your own and stuff. So I would just say balance, like, what you do behind the laptop to, I think Katie Tunstall did a really good job in a post she did recently where she just said, you know, the biggest thing you can do in music is perfect your performance and put yourself in front of strangers and stuff. You never know who's going to be there and kind of the rest will follow. So I guess, story short, like, don't just focus on getting in front of the label, like, just focus on being the best form of you in music and getting yourself out there and what will happen is supposed to happen, you know? And then I don't know if this is, like, in terms of the industry, but I think just one thing with music, like, that I've learned in creating, I think at first it was like you get so excited to put a new song out and whatever else, and it's better to be not rushed and do it right, you know. So, like, you know, I would suggest, like, maybe working with somebody who is a professional in mixing and mastering. If you're, you know, I certainly am not, you know, that's not my forte, and, like, you know, slowing down to speed up sort of, and then making sure, like, when you're putting your music out, like, you know, don't put it out to release it in, like, a week, like, you know, put it out there where it releases in maybe, like, 12 weeks or most people would say 8, but just so that, like, the platforms can kind of catch up. They get so many submissions every day, you know, And I actually went to a Spotify masterclass when I was playing at South by Southwest. I had two shows there, and that was something they really, really enforce time, because there's so many submissions every day. Like, our algorithms need to catch up for you to be on, or even have a chance to be on, playlists that could give you a lot of streams. So I think those would be like three big learnings in, like, quote unquote music, maybe not like the industry, but just like it as a whole.
You said it, you nailed it. And one last thing is, what type of quote, message, passage, word do you use to motivate yourself, or just say on a daily basis, you know, you just use it?
Yeah, we've used it. It was funny, even pre-pandemic, we put it out there, and then the pandemic happened and it became the theme for the world, which was pretty ironic, but just in it together, you know, that's all you can control. So, in it together and do the best you can, and I don't know, hustle your ass off. It's like, I don't know if you've ever read Ari Hirstan's book, but you know, if you're in music to get famous, you're in it for the wrong reason. It's a 10 to 16 hour a day job when you're really hustling. And it's not something, you know, unless you're the, you know, not even 1%, I'd call it less than that somebody happens to show up, or, you know, happens to listen to the one song you put out and you become huge. Like, that's the anomaly. And so it's a grind, and you got to love it. And it's got to be for more than yourself. You know, like, music's a medicine.
That's right.
And so when you're doing it to, like, help heal things yourself, and I certainly do it to help heal myself, but heal other people and whatever they're going through or whatever, then the rest, I don't know, like, to me, getting famous doesn't matter. You know, it's like 16 hours flies by when you're doing what you love, you know? So.
You mentioned that. That's what I always say. Music is our superpower. I'm going to say,
yes, baby.
If they're super, we can move mountains, we can make a difference in somebody's life. Somebody's going to say, I need to listen to a little bit of Sarah Christine.
Yep.
I'm feeling a certain way today. This is what we do. This is what we were born to do. You know, mine is,
yep.
I write my word of the year is, well, words are, I write my own narrative. Nobody's going to tell
Ooh,
me.
Ooh, I like that.
To be.
Ooh, that's good.
And, you know, I got it from this whole discussion I had with a friend the other day. You know, people always like to say, oh, but the press write what they want. No, you've enabled the press to write what they want. I know if somebody writes something and it's wrong, I either tell them to change it or take it down. I'm not playing. I don't play those games. It's like, some people are fame horse. I'm just going to say, male
people, yeah.
they just want the press no matter what it says. Nope, not doing it. Either
yep,
the right.
Yep, I feel you.
I'm just like, no,
yeah.
You know, they're going to use the right sources, right information. It's just going to be me, all authentic.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, and everything, like, will happen as it should. And I think that should be the end all goal, is just like knowing, like, you're doing whatever you're supposed to be doing to put out your best work. You know, it's like, you think about, like, for everybody that was in, like, corporate too, it's like, You don't just, like, throw yourself to the top. Like, that doesn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, I mean, maybe for a few, if you're, like, the founder of Facebook, you know, and, like, a genius at Harvard. But it's like, you know, for most promotions you get, like, it's because you put in the freaking work. And, like, and people are liking to work with you and all this stuff. And I don't know, I have the same, like, caring compounds, like, you're doing the right work and you're collaborating in the right ways. And of course we're all going to screw up. It just happens. We all have bad reviews from time to time, but, like, you'll get the promotion when the world's ready for you to do it. And
mm-hmm.
I think that should be your intention every day, you know? So anyway.
Amen. Well, it's been awesome getting to know you and talking to you. Now I have to be a stalker. Now I have to follow you everywhere.
Well, now we're going to be, like, super homies. I feel it. I'm definitely hitting you up when I'm in New York.
Yeah, no, definitely do that. You know, I'd like to come out and catch a show. And then someday soon, when you're not so busy being famous, we can do an Instagram Live. We could do a live show as well.
Yeah.
Because you're awesome. Your music is definitely awesome. Have you thought about trying to get your music into sync and licensing as well?
I have. You know, to be honest, I need a lot of help in that area. You know, like, it's just, there's so, as you know, there's like so many avenues with stuff, you know, and then everything comes with like so much detail, you know, like, and so I'm beginning to learn a bit of that. And it's kind of like one of those things where I feel like at this point, I may need to reach out for more guidance, or maybe somebody to kind of hone that in for me or take that on for me. But yeah, definitely, like, pitching it to, you know, the, you know, obviously, the movies and gaming and all that kind of stuff. And how about you? Have you done that?
Yeah, no, I have a music publishing manager, and I met her through a networking thing. But what I'll do is, between this week and next week, I will send you a list of places. I have to send it to somebody else as well. But a list of places where you can upload your music, and it's for sync, it's for television. And if you have any questions, just let me know, because I think your music and your voice definitely have it for television, documentaries and commercials and snippets and whatever that's out there. You really should try to do that. It's another avenue to make money. And then the other thing is you can join. I'm also part of the music, the Guild of Music Supervisors, as a patron.
Oh, yeah.
You get to get on their they have a lot of Zooms and stuff like that. You can meet other people and find out what, you know, they're looking for in regards to music. And then there's also this website called disco.ac. And so disco is a place a lot of music supervisors go to find music. And then there's a way to, in fact, I need to do their webinar. Every time they have one, I always sign up and then I can't do it. And you can go back and watch them. I just need to take a day and just watch everything. But you...
Oh, I know, right?
Yeah. What you do is you create these playlists, okay? And let's say it's a bunch of holiday songs that you have. So you're going to call it Sarah Christine's holiday playlist. And then they'll go in and they'll look for playlists. They'll look for the playlists that have holiday music. So there's many things that you could do in regards to getting your music out there. So I will definitely send you all of that information. And when you're ready, we could chat about that too.
Oh, you're the best. You're in my corner. I'm in yours.
Beautiful. That's what sisterhood is about.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
I love it.
Well, I'm not going to keep you, but it was great to have you on chatting with Nat. And I'm sure we will chat again. So
yes,
you have a nice day.
Thank you very much for having me on, by the way. You are awesome. So appreciate it.
Appreciate it. So everybody, this was chatting with Nat, with singer-songwriter Sarah Christine. She's all over the place. She's on Instagram, Spotify. She has a website in the body of this thing here. You could just Google her and find her music. She's amazing. She's going on tour. And if she's in a city near you, you've got to go see her. Until next time on Chatting with Nat.
Chatting with Nat is a podcast for independent women seeking to speak their truth and to break down barriers. We host honest conversations that help to guide and empower women. Speak your truth and set yourself free. Let your voice be heard.